Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Those of you who just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes by email every Sunday. Gets you ready for the week ahead. And you can join the happy throng of thousands of subscribers that we have now. And also, don't forget to check out our archives. We have thousands of those. We have thousands of articles on every topic known to small business. And also, we have our blog, which you can check out, which keeps everything that we do this week right up front. Very handy for you. That's the main, one of the main purposes of our blog, besides the fact that we send that to you 5 days a week. If you would like for us to, we'll send it to you, which is just a snapshot of what we do every day. We'll send that to you. Or when you come and get it, it brings everything that we've done this week right up front, so it's very handy for you. So check that out, use it to your advantage, and that's smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the blog is at jimsblog.biz. It's also on the homepage. Lynn Morella is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Lynn is one of our great members of our Brain Trust. He's our ethical expert. Lynn is a graduate of West Point, the U.S. Military Academy, the Army's Military Academy. He's a veteran of Vietnam. He worked with the Defense Department, and he's the author of In Search of Ethics, Conversations with Men and Women of Character, and I'm proud to be holding in my hand the second edition, and I'm happy to say that I was telling you about the first edition a long time ago and continue to do so. Lynn, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Jim. It's always good to be with you.
It's always good to have you here. And folks, one of the things that I like to do, there are two people, whenever the subject of integrity or ethics comes up, I have two very handy quotes that I quote from two very smart people. One is our good friend Lynn Morella, and the other is Nobel laureate Albert Camus, a French Nobel laureate. He got his Nobel Prize for Literature in about 1957. And I quote Lynn and by saying what Lynn says the definition of ethics is devotion to the unenforceable. And I quote Albert Camus because Albert says that integrity has no need of rules. And so, Lynn, I want to thank you for being my part of my 1-2 punch whenever the conversation of ethics comes up.
Well, I should be quick to say that was not original with me. I certainly have adopted that notion, but I think it was Lord Moulton, a British jurist, who said that many, many years ago, that ethics is obedience to the unenforceable.
Mm-hmm.
Obedience to the law, it has to do with legality, and obedience to the unenforceable has to do with ethics.
Tell us what you mean by that. Give us a scenario for how that would work. Put it into real life terms.
Well, for example, if you're speeding, if you're going 65 miles an hour in a 25-mile zone, you're breaking the law. It's illegal. It's not necessarily unethical, but it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, let's say you go to the supermarket and there's one last cart left, and there's a little old woman there who wants the cart, and you go over there and you knock her down and you get the cart where she does. No, that's there's no law against that.
Right.
That certainly is unethical.
Well, I don't know. That might be assault, then. They better not try to take a cart away from my 82-year-old mother. They'll be in for a fight. in fact, that might even be fun to watch. She'd probably whip them. But no, I take your meaning. And, you know, one of the things that one of my favorite things to talk about is dealing in good faith. You may have heard me say this before. I like it, talking to people when we're talking about negotiating. Whenever I'm talking to people about how to become better negotiators, I like talking about dealing in good faith. And to me, that's all part of those two elements: the integrity element and the ethical element, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, and that's really the backbone of business. The solid backbone of business is to deal in good faith. And and to deal in straight talk. I'm convinced that people become more successful and happier. Let me add that, and happier if they just deal in straight talk. It's just so much easier. You don't have to worry about what lie you told last week. So what lie you have to tell this week to cover up last week's lie?
Well,
it gets to be a kind of a vicious cycle, and it gets to be a web that we weave that we get caught in.
And one of the things that you and I can do to become better, more straight talkers, is to rein in our attorneys and make them write contracts that talk straight, can't we?
Absolutely. And sometimes I wish we could just deal with a handshake.
Well, I know, but Len, that's, you know, you're pretty romantic here, you know, with that. I agree with you, but there are people. You know what? I still do business that way with some folks, and I still think you can to some degree. I'll take a quick break. When we come back, I want Len to talk to us about what he thinks, how he thinks our society is moving, which direction, and what we can do about it. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I said 17 till, didn't I already? Len Morella is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. In Search of Ethics is his book. It's now in second edition. Len, congratulations. It's a pretty cool thing when you publish a book, but when it comes out in second edition, that means you hit a home run, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and I got to put some afterthoughts in the book that were relevant, and that made me feel good.
Well, I'm sure all the interviews that you and I've done contributed to all those afterthoughts, right? Right, Len?
Absolutely.
That's what you meant to say, right? Okay, let's talk about you were waxing romantically when we went to the break, Len. You were talking to Santa Claus or something. You were hoping the world would be a little bit more perfect than it is. And are you fighting a losing battle?
Well, I hope not, but I'm deeply concerned because I everywhere I look, you know, in doing the research for the book, Jim, I found some things that were alarming. One is that our moral values are incrementally deteriorating, inch by inch, foot by foot. The 7-foot high jump is now a 5-foot high jump.
With every new episode of the Jerry Springer Show, you know, we're going down the drain, aren't we?
Well, it's not only the Jerry Springer Show, but you think, just look at primetime TV. Look at what you can find on the internet. And look at what you're reading in some of the publications. The cultural tide of society is pulling us in the wrong direction. And I don't mean to be an alarmist. I don't mean to be a pessimist. I don't mean to be a schmuck. But we have to face reality. Things are not. If you're not strong, if you're not an active parent helping your kids develop a moral compass, and you let them to the vagaries of society, they're going to wind up in the wrong place.
Where did this start? How did it get started?
I don't know that. I think, you know, some people will say, you know, in the 60s, things kind of got out of control during the Vietnam War where people start lying to protect themselves. And I'm not sure. All I know is that all the major civilizations of the world that crumbled from within, not from without.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not careful, you know, if we're not careful, if we just keep going down this track where money's more important than principles, where power is more important than principles, where prestige is more important than values, you know, we're going to wind up in the wrong place. So that's why I say it's very important to be a strong swimmer, to be able to swim upstream, be able to teach your kids to swim upstream, to cling to the values that made this country great. And I think the last time I was on your show, Jim, I mentioned that everywhere I go, people tell me what they believe in. They believe in honesty and truth. They believe in respect. They believe in responsibility. They believe in compassion. They believe in justice. But there's a major disconnect between what they say and what they do.
Yeah.
We're not walking the walk.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's an element of greed in what you're talking about. There's an element of power, and also competition. I think, especially in the media, the competition in the media. I mean, you know, if this is there'll be people who will fall out of their chair when they hear me say this, but I'm starting to think that maybe competition isn't a good thing in every part of our lives, and that's totally antithetical to anything I've ever said before, Len. But I wonder, you know, when the news media continues to compete against each other on a 24/7 cycle. It's like they've quit reporting the news, and now they're basically editorializing all the time.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. You know, and it was the late great sports writer Grant Rice who once said, you know, when that great scorer comes to mark against your name, he'll mark not that you won or lost, but how you played the game.
Right.
And if you put that into every element of your life. And if you're a salesperson and you're competing, if you're competing with other salespeople, you don't necessarily have to compete unfairly. Matter of fact, instead of worrying about taking his piece of the pie, if you all work together, you make the pie bigger and everybody gets a bigger piece.
Well, yeah, and somebody once said, you know, the organizations that get the most done and have the most success and have the most happiness are the ones where, you know, nobody cares who gets the credit.
When you can create a culture of trust, you have true synergy, true productivity, true empowerment. A culture of trust is just so important. That trust is the lubricant of synergy, the lubricant for society, and the lubricant for civilizations. And that's what I'm concerned about.
I don't want to make it sound like America is holier than thou, but do you think that there's some things that we can look at that is happening in Europe and say, okay, folks, you see that? That's exactly where we're headed.
Well, they have their problems, and we have our problems. But I think as a nation, we tend to be pretty good. We tend to give to the rest of the world. Sometimes, as individuals, I worry about some of our activities.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about was the religious issue. You know, Americans are maybe, I don't know what the verdict is. Are we more religious than we were 20 years ago, or less religious than we were 20 years ago? But certainly, someone once said you could roll a bowling ball down the middle of a cathedral or a church in Europe and not hit anybody. Europeans are not going to church as they used to.
That's absolutely right.
And I wonder though, when you look at some of the things that are happening over there, other than World Cup, how much national pride? I wonder how much national pride gets eroded the farther away a nation gets from their religion.
You know, it's very interesting you say that, Jim, because in the late 19th century, Alexis de Tocqueville came to this country, to our country, to find out what made our democracy work so well. And he thought about our commerce, and he thought about our agriculture, and he thought about our courts, our ports, you know, our shipping, and all the things we have that make money. And he said, in the final analysis, he said, not until I went to the churches of America and I saw its pulpit
right.
flame with righteousness did I understand why America is great. America
exactly.
is great because she is good. When America ceases to be good, she'll cease to be great.
And you said late 19th century, and I know you meant to say early 19th century. Quick break. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Lynn Morella is our guest. He's the author of the second edition of In Search of Ethics. Stay with us. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Lynn Morella, and that's two R's and two L's. Ladies and gentlemen, Lynn Morella, M-A-R-R-E-L-L-A, and the book is In Search of Ethics, now in its second edition. Lynn, give us your website, please.
www.focusonethics.com is the website where you can get the book.
Focus on Ethics.
Focusonethics.com.
All right.
And there's a phone number, if I can give it to you, Jim.
Sure, absolutely.
866-602-1476.
You were, as we went to the break, we kind of came up on a hard break there, and I think I may have cut you off on something else you wanted to say. If you want to recreate the very end of that and finish your thought, I'd like for you to do that.
Well, I was telling you that Alexis de Tocqueville, when he visited this country to analyze the success of our democracy, he said that all the things he looked at in this country, in the final analysis, not until he went to the churches of America and saw our pulpits aflame with righteousness did he understand why we're so great. America's great because she's good. When she ceases to be good, she'll cease to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And in the final analysis, the state of the union truly depends upon the character of its citizens.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes a democracy great. And that's where my concern is.
Well, sometimes when I think of Americans, I think of us as being, you know, on the surface where, you know, we've become more self-absorbed, we're more into ourselves. Air conditioning has helped us to do that. You know, we don't live as close to our neighbors as we used to, even though we may physically, we don't literally, socially that much anymore. And I think about us being consumers and all that sort of thing, and maybe some of the ugly stuff. And I know that some of our pop culture stuff, our culture has maybe devolved a little bit. But Lynn, I keep thinking that when things like 911 happen, we saw that there is a pretty solid backbone to Americanism, isn't there?
But that takes us back to our core values.
Yeah.
When something like a Great Depression happens, or a World War, or an event like 9/11, it makes us think about what's really important.
Well, and the
it's not necessarily money, and it's not necessarily power, and it's not necessarily sex, it's not necessarily prestige. It's the basic core values that made this country great.
But the things that romantics like you and me want to see, Lynn, we want to see that in evidence more every day, not just during emergencies. How do we do that?
And it's not to say that people are all bad. I'm including myself in this. Basically, there's good and bad in all of us. And which side you feed the most is the one that's going to prevail.
Right.
So that's why it's like the story about the eagle and the wolf. You know, depending on which one you feed, that's the one that's going to soar.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, Lynn, one of the thoughts that I've had in the last few years, especially after 9/11, is that evil is easier to leverage than good. It takes a lot. You have to work a lot harder to feed our to not nurture our evil than I think our good. When I say our, I mean as human beings. The reason I say that is you know, how much good could 19 people do in a morning, and how much evil did 19 people do in a morning? Evil is easier to leverage than good, and so I think the good people, the good in us, has to work harder. What do you think?
And technology has leveraged that even more.
Yep.
And how much damage could somebody do 100 years ago with a bow and arrow, you know, versus how much damage can someone do today with a hijacked aircraft or a nuclear weapon?
What can we do? Speak up when we see something that's not right, when we see something that's unethical, when we see someone who's behaving in a way that's not right. Should we speak up? What should we do?
All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing.
Edmund Burke.
And I think we need to speak up whenever we can.
Say that again.
You don't have to be self-righteous. All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. And we're inclined to not want to get involved. We're inclined not to want to get, you know, invest any of our heart in something. We're inclined not to want to present ourselves in a way that people might criticize us, as opposed to doing the right thing because it's the right thing.
I've been in situations before where I didn't like the way things were going, and I didn't say anything.
And most
I just
of
went
that,
along. And then I've been in situations where I was very uncomfortable. I was embarrassed to say, you know what, folks, I don't like the way this is going. I don't like this. But whenever I did, and if maybe I walked out, maybe I left the whatever was going on, I had several people come up to me and say, thank you for doing that. People, there are people who are looking for those with a little more courage to be their leaders.
For example, kids in schools, you know, so I have three daughters, and they used to come home and say, Dad, can I do this? And I said, well, is it the right thing? Is it right? Well, no, Dad, but everybody's doing it. I said, well, go on the other side of the school and hold your hand up and say, let's do this. Let's do the right thing. Let's have some fun the right way. And watch how many people will fall in line behind you.
Yeah.
But they're just looking for leadership.
People are looking for that kind of leadership. And you've helped us to understand that, to learn that with all the visits you've had with us. Lynn, thank you for being here. Thank
you.
Can I leave you
with one last thought?
Yes, sir, quickly.
And that is, people are irresistibly attracted to leaders of character.
People are irresistibly attracted to leaders of character. Well said, Lynn. See you later.
Okay, Jim.
Quick break right after the news. I'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.